You know, the Torah for us is, you know, literally the first five books of the Bible, and this scroll is literally the first five books of the Bible. However, the Torah can also mean just God's word in general and all of God's word for us. So, you know, these words are roughly, and I say roughly, translated. Torah is roughly translated as law, but it's not just law, because law has such a negative connotation. What it really is, instructions. It's instructions for living for us. And we're going to talk about some of those instructions today as we go through the Torah portion. You could see on the screens, Tetzaveh is our portion today. We're systematically going through the Torah this year. And the Torah portion is Exodus 27:20 through 30:10. Now, because we have a special Shabbat, the Shabbat before Purim, we have an additional reading. And that is Deuteronomy 25:17 through 19. And the Haftorah for this special Shabbat is 1 Samuel 15:2 through 34. I'm going to be speaking today on Tetzaveh itself, which is Exodus 27:20 through 30:10. So if you get out your scriptures, your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, your scrolls, anybody bring a scroll today? It would have been a little bit cumbersome to bring your scroll. All right, so as we go through and we start Tetzaveh, the Torah portion, is translated. You know, all these Torah portions take their names from one of the first words in the portion. The word Tetzaveh in the Hebrew is translated into the English as "you shall command." You shall command. And this portion is a continuation of the discussion we had last portion about the tabernacle. This is the place where God ordained the sacrifices to be given. This is the place where the priests would minister and facilitate those sacrifices. So we don't want to understate the importance of the tabernacle, and we talked about that last week. We don't want to understate the importance of the priests. These men were the ones that were facilitating all the sacrifices. They had a very special job. They had a very powerful job. But this was, and this is what we want to talk about today, this was a unique job that they had, that the priests had, where they're ministering. They're of the work of the tabernacle and later the temple. And of course we know from last week's portion how important the tabernacle was. This was the place where God connected with man. This was the place where we offered the sacrifices to our God. And the one true God of the entire world would come down from between the cherubim at the mercy seat, and he would dwell and he would meet man. This is the one place on earth at those times where God would do that. This was special. And it was to be regarded as special, and the things about it were to be regarded as special. Now we see several things in this portion this week. The last verses of chapter 27, the beginning of our portion, talk about the oil that was used for the lamp. So it's a further discussion of all the different pieces in the tabernacle. We talked about the menorah that was in there. We talked about the altar that the sacrifices were given on. We talked about the different areas of the tabernacle. Of course, you go into the court, then you go into the holy place, and you go even farther in to where the ark is, where the tablets were, and that's the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. That's the place that only once a year the high priest could go in and make atonement for the sins of Israel. We're going to talk about that a little bit today too. But chapter 28 goes into the priest's garments. And you know, sometimes you say to yourself, this is a little bit detailed. Why is God going so detailed with this stuff? This is a little bit like, okay, we understand it's important. But God has a purpose and a reason why he does things. God doesn't just do things willy-nilly or just say, oh, well, this is it. And thank God that he doesn't do this, as I said a couple of weeks ago, because he gives us the Ten Commandments, and then he doesn't just say, go figure it out, right? He gives us the Ten Commandments, and then he gives us practical ways of living out those Ten Commandments, like we saw in Mishpatim, the portion. So what we see is, in chapter 28, very detailed, the priest's garments. Everything was specific. Aaron and his sons were called by God to be the priests from the tribe of Levi, and this was important. Not just anybody could be a priest. You had to be from the tribe of Levi, and they had to wear these special garments. So turn with me to Exodus 28. We'll start with our first scripture today, Exodus 28, verses 1 and 2. Then bring near to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. And the Torah portion goes on to show all about these garments that they were to wear. Now these are the garments that they should make. Exodus 28:4. Turn with me to Exodus 28:4. These are the garments that they are shall to make. A breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons to serve me as priests. And again, every word is specific. Everything is very detailed, and there's reasons why God does it like this. But these garments were special. They were designated that the priests, that they were designated to show that the people that wore them, the priests, were special. Today I want to talk about the role of the priests, which is the role that they had in Israel, which is a very significant role. Now specifically, I want to talk about three different roles that the priests played. Number one, they were consecrated unto the Lord. They were special. They were consecrated unto the Lord. Number two, they were the ones that offered the sacrifices. And number three, they facilitated a relationship between God and man. So they were consecrated to the Lord. They offered the sacrifices. And they facilitated a relationship that God could have with man. The priests facilitated this. First, the priests were consecrated to God. They were set apart for the work that they would be doing, and they were linked with the tabernacle in that work. Exodus 29. Turn with me to Exodus 29, verse 44. This is towards the end of our portion today. Exodus 29, 44 says, I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. You see how the tabernacle and the priests are very much intertwined. Both are consecrated to the Lord. Now, my translation says consecration. I'm using the ESV. You may have a different translation. Just raise your hand if somebody has a different word than consecrate. There's a different word than consecrate. Everybody have a couple of people have a different word. Many translations will say sanctify. Right? That may be what you have. Yep, getting some nods. Sanctify. Well, the Hebrew word here that's used in Exodus 29:44 is actually kadash. Kadash. And it is a variant of kadosh. We've heard that word before. Kadosh means separate, set apart, or holy. Separate, set apart, or holy. When we look at the garments that they wore, they were holy garments, Exodus 28:4. These were set apart garments for set apart people, for a set apart tabernacle. Okay? Very, very important. It actually says that these are holy garments in Exodus 28:4. They were not like the normal clothes that they wore. They were kadosh, holy and set apart. Because the priests were doing a special job, and because the priests were ministering before the Lord and his people, Aaron and his sons, they had to be kadosh. They had to be kadosh. They had to be holy and set apart. And the question is, why did they have to be holy and set apart? You know, there's this whole movement today within the body, and not all of it is bad, but this whole come as you are thing, right? Like, let's just come in our ripped up jeans, let's go to church and let's do this, you know. And listen, yes, come as you are. But you're not supposed to stay as you are. You're supposed to get sanctified. You're supposed to have growth and maturity. You're not supposed to just come with your ratty self all the time. You're supposed to come with your ratty self and you're supposed to come before the Lord. You're supposed to give up your sins. You're supposed to get close to God, grow and mature. We're still all a mess. That's fine. But we can't just say, well, whatever. God just has me however I am, whatever. I can just come in after doing my business out there in the world and doing my sinful life. We can't say that. We have to be holy and set apart. We have to be kadosh. We have to get to that point. We have to strive to that. You can't just come in with, the priest could not come in with just the ripped jeans, right, and flip-flops, you know? I'm from Florida, and in Florida, you go everywhere, and it's jeans, or shorts and flip-flops, right? Not so much here when it's cold in Georgia, but the flip-flops wouldn't have worked. They had to be special garments, right? They had to be set apart. They had to be holy. They had to be consecrated to the Lord. This was something very special. You couldn't buy these in the store. Okay, these had to be specifically made for you, these garments. So they were sanctified, set apart, holy, kadosh, kadosh. Number two, the priests were to offer sacrifices, and they were to work with the people. There was a connection there between the priests and the people. The people would bring their sacrifices. The people would bring their offerings, and the priests would help facilitate. Now, I'm going to give you an example. One example is the burnt offering. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is one of many examples in the Word that it talks about the role of the priests. It talks about how they would have a hand and they would have a part to play in the sacrifices. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord. This is the burnt offering. Leviticus 1, 5 through 9. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. And Aaron's sons the priests shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat and the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now listen, the people had to bring their offerings. That was their role. If you were back then, you had to go bring your burnt offering, your sin offering. You had to bring it. However, once you were there, you had a role to play, but then the priest would come alongside you and help facilitate that offering. What I'm saying is the offering could not happen in the prescribed way without the priests. You had the people freely bringing their offering to the Lord, their sacrifices, but then you had the priests facilitating it so that it could happen the right way. So this is a very, very important job. They would be tied to the people. They would be helping the people bring their sacrifices for their sins to God. This is extremely important, this role. They would work with the people, an immensely important job. Listen, the entire book of the Torah that is essentially dedicated to discussing this is the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is all about the sacrifices, and it's all about the priests. And of course, Leviticus refers to Levi, the tribe of Levi, which are the priests. The priests were from the tribe of Levi, and they were the ones that facilitated this. Now, when Israel eventually went in to conquer the land of Israel, this is 40 years later, what happened was the land was divided. And the land was divided up between the various tribes, right? Reuben had his portion. Manasseh and Ephraim got their portions. Judah got his portion. However, the tribe of Levi did not get a portion of the land. You know, if you go to the back of your Bible, how many of you have the maps section in your Bible? Very important section. Some of the Bibles don't, but some of them have it in there. And there's different maps. And one of the maps is always the conquest of Canaan and then the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And you see the tribes on the left and the right side of the Jordan. And they're all scattered. And you've got Judah and then Benjamin at the bottom with Jerusalem. Well, if you notice, there's no section for Levi, right? Because there was a special thing about the tribe of Levi, the priests. As the land was divided up, the tribe of Levi did not get a portion of the land. Instead, they were given 48 cities scattered throughout the land of Israel. So the Levites, the tribe of Levi, the priests, they were to live throughout the entire land of Israel, throughout all of the tribes. This is very, very important. Numbers chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. Let's go there. Numbers 35, verses 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, command the people of Israel to give the Levites some of the inheritance of their possession as cities for them to dwell in, and you shall give the Levites pasture lands around the cities. Now, I can't express to you how important land was back then. Land was everything. Kind of the same thing today, right? People fight and die over land. Look at what's happened the last couple of years in that little section called Crimea, right? In that little section between Russia and the Ukraine. And how many people are fighting over that? Think of the land of Kashmir, right? and how all the different groups are fighting over that. Think of the land of Ireland and how people are fighting over that land, right? In Northern Ireland, historically. Throughout the world, throughout the centuries, land has been extremely important. And men have and women have fought and died for land. Think of this country in America with the whole gold rush and the westward migration and how important it was to have land. Land is extremely important, but land really meant everything back then. So the fact that the Levites didn't have land, maybe they would feel like, oh, I'm really missing out, right? I have to be scattered throughout other people's lands. But they were given these 48 cities strategically because God had a special work for them. Their work was not to be owners of land. Their work was to facilitate for the people these sacrifices. So it was an extremely important role for this particular tribe of Israel. And God did it this way. There was a rotation, actually. So the priests that would live throughout these cities, throughout the land of Israel, they would obviously have to go to Jerusalem, because the only place that the temple was Jerusalem. There wasn't temples throughout the land of Israel. Now, later on, there would be what's called synagogues throughout the land of Israel. When they came back from Babylon, Ezra the scribe set up these synagogues, and this would be houses of study. Synagogues were never intended back then to be houses of worship, where people go to worship the Lord. That happened in Jerusalem. That happened at the temple. One place. And so the tribe of Levi, the priests who were scattered throughout the land of Israel, they would be set up on a rotation system, as it says in Scripture, to go up to Jerusalem to minister for a time in the temple. And then they would go back to their lands. This is how this would work. And we see this in the Bible. Look with me, turn to the New Testament and turn to the book of Luke. We see this continuing on even in the New Testament, even in the New Covenant. See examples, it's throughout the Bible, but this is in the book of Luke that I wanted to highlight here. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we have this person named Zechariah who's a priest, meaning he's from the tribe of Levi. And we have a wife of his, and she is from the daughters of Aaron, so she's also a Levite, and her name was Elizabeth. So two people from the tribe of Levi having a child, and they had this son from the tribe of Levi, and what was his name? It was Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist. He was actually a Levite. He was of the line of the priests. We'll continue on, Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Now while he, this is Zechariah the father, was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now I don't have time to go into the whole story, you know, how he goes into the temple and, you know, the angel, and then he can't speak and then all this stuff. But the point being, he was from the tribe of Levi. He lived somewhere in Israel. He went up to Jerusalem to do his rotation. This was how this worked for the tribe of Levi. And these priests, they were consecrated. They offered these sacrifices according to their rotation pattern. They would go up to Jerusalem and fulfill their holy duty to facilitate these sacrifices for the people. But the last thing I want to look at, we talked about the consecration, we talked about the sacrifices. Very important, the last piece of this is these priests and what they were doing were facilitating a relationship between God and man. They were the ones that had to work in the temple, tabernacle temple, to facilitate the relationship between God and man. Exodus 29, go back to our Torah portion, Exodus 29, verse 45. Listen, God does things for a purpose and a reason. This verse tells you the whole purpose and reason of why God is doing all of this. All of this. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. Now, this is an extremely important verse, probably the most important verse in the Torah portion. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. This was the end result. This was the end goal of creating this tabernacle, of collecting all that money that we saw last week, the contributions, the voluntary contributions, spending all this time to make all these things, coating things with gold, putting the tablets in the ark, putting the mercy seat and the cherubim on there. All of this was to go to this one verse, so that the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the world and all peoples, would dwell among the people of Israel and be their God. Amen. This is what God wanted, to have a relationship with his people. This is what God wanted back then, and guess what? This is what God wants today. This is what God has always wanted with us, with the Jewish people, and with all of his creation, to have a relationship. And it's interesting because the very verse before 45, we read it earlier, verse 29:44, you can go back and take a look at it. So 45 is the whole purpose behind this, but 44 facilitates the promise in 45. 44 was the priests and what they had to do so that we could have verse 45, so that God could dwell amongst his people. The priests had to facilitate the relationship between God and man. This is the thing. 44 talks about how the priests in the tabernacle were holy so that they were set apart so that God could dwell and have a relationship with his people. God cannot fellowship with sin. We've said this many times. The people had to be holy. The priests helped facilitate that kadosh. When we look at the priests that they wore, or the garments that the priests wore, we didn't go into it. I want to go into one little piece of that right now. One little garment. And this is very, very important. The breastplate, right? On the breastplate were stones. And you can read that in the portion. Exodus 28:21. Turn with me there. Exodus chapter 28, verse 21. We're still in our portion. There shall be 12 stones with their names, according to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. This was on the breastplate that the high priest wore. He had to go in with stones on his chest. And those stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll continue to read Exodus 28, verse 29. So Aaron, high priest, shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. Aaron, the high priest, was called to go into that holy place, not alone, but representing the people, so much so that he had them engraved upon his heart. He was going before the Lord on behalf of the people. He was facilitating a relationship amongst God and his people, represented by the stones, the 12 tribes of Israel. When Aaron went before the Lord, when the high priest went before the Lord, one time a year on Yom Kippur, he would go in to do what? To make atonement for the people of Israel, bearing their names on him. He wore the breastplate with the 12 stones. He was facilitating that relationship. So this is the whole thing about the priests. They had this very special role. You couldn't have a relationship with God back then without the priests. You couldn't have the temple and the tabernacle and all the functions without the priests. You couldn't get your offerings done without the priests, and you couldn't have the relationship with God without the priests. So, Scripture always has parallels. Scripture always says something one place, and you can find it another place. God's not done. God didn't just say, okay, now we have the New Testament, now we have the New Covenant, forget about the Torah. And we're going to see why. The concepts, the precepts, the whole idea of the priests is found in the New Covenant as well. We look at the roles of the priests to be sanctified before the Lord, to offer sacrifices, and to facilitate relationship. And what do we see in the New Covenant? We see the person of Yeshua, our Messiah, that he was sanctified, set apart to do a special work, that he was to die for our sins. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Messiah died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Yeshua's role was to die for our sins. he was to be sanctified. Just as the priests offered sacrifices, Yeshua even more, he offered sacrifices, but you know what? He offered himself. He was the sacrifice. We see this parallel in Yeshua. This is what John the Baptist said about Yeshua. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he saw Yeshua coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Yeshua was that sacrifice. He is linked so much with this whole sacrificial system and this whole priestly system. Yeshua fulfills that for us. And, you know, you can read throughout the book of Hebrews just how much and how significant Yeshua is in the sacrifices and the priesthood and all of that. Yeshua was the sacrifice, but even more, this is how awesome Yeshua is, how great Yeshua is for us. He was also the priest. The book of Hebrews talks extensively about he acts as our high priest. He acts as our Aaron. Just as Aaron will go before the Lord, representing the people and facilitating a relationship between them and God, Yeshua does that for us. Turn to the book of Hebrews with me. We see these parallels between the priests and Yeshua. We see these parallels even between the sacrifices in the tabernacle and the temple with Yeshua. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore he, Yeshua, had to be made like his brothers, the Jewish people, in every respect, or as a person, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He had to be a high priest. He had to be a priest, but he also had to be the sacrifice. He fulfills all the duties and the calling of the priesthood that we just talked about. Now look at Hebrews chapter 9. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. I can't give you all the scriptures about it, but you can, like I said, go through the book of Hebrews and you'll see. But Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, referring to the tabernacle, he, Yeshua, entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. We can't understate the importance of Yeshua in our lives. We can't understate the importance of the priests and what they did, of the sacrifices and of the tabernacle. Yeshua is all of that for us. Yeshua does it all. He's fulfilled all these roles. He has died for our sins. He was consecrated and died for our sins. He made atonement for us. And he facilitates a relationship with the Father in us. He is the Jacob's ladder. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way by which men can be saved. There's a scripture on that. I don't have time to go into that. But we have to understand, when people talk about today in the world about how, well, the Gentiles need Yeshua, and the Jewish people, they just have their covenant with God. They have the Mosaic covenant. And, you know, because of the Torah, they're made clean and they're saved. That's what's being espoused by some people today. That is not biblical. That is not kosher, as we say, right? There is one person under which all men, Jew and Gentile, would come to the Lord in only one way, and that is through Yeshua. If there is not only one way, then that minimizes the importance of Yeshua in our lives. That minimizes the fact that he is a high priest, that he is the sacrifice, that he is the tabernacle and the temple. He is all of those things. And if we minimize that importance, we've just minimized all of what Yeshua is for us. But he is the one way to heaven. He is the one way to eternal life. He facilitates that relationship to us and God. When Jacob had the dream of Jacob's ladder, he saw angels going up and down on this ladder. Yeshua later on referred to himself as the ladder. The only way we can connect with heaven, the only way we can have salvation in our lives, the only way we can live forever and go to heaven is by accepting Yeshua's sacrifice. The only way is by him facilitating a relationship between the God of all creation and us. Yeshua is the connection point. with the Shekinah, the glory of God, coming down upon the mercy seat between the cherubim in the most holy place. This is how mind-blowing this is. He's the high priest that goes in with our names on his chest. He's the sacrifice that's burnt up for us, that dies for our sins. And he's the connection point that facilitates a relationship to the Father that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Yeshua does all of this for us. We are now, through Yeshua, and only through Yeshua, we are now sanctified. We can now offer sacrifices ourselves to the Lord. Your sacrifices are your praise, your worship, your giving to the Lord, your giving of your time to the congregation, your giving to the poor, your giving to other people. And we, through Yeshua, have a direct connection with God. This is it. The priests had their role. Yeshua had his role. We now have our role. We are a holy people now. One more scripture. 1 Peter. I love the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You, me, the body of Messiah, Jew and Gentile. You yourselves, like living stones. You know, the stones that were put on the breastplate. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, tabernacle, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. The only way you and I can offer acceptable sacrifices now is through the facilitation of the priest Yeshua, through the high priest Yeshua. The only way we can do all this is through having our high priest, our sacrifice Yeshua, doing it for us. But because of what he's done for us, we are holy. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart. Kadosh, Kadash. All of this is within our grasp. You don't have to wait to take your animals to Jerusalem. You don't have to wait that the priest, you know, has got the garments on and he's ready and you can go in and you can get that done. You don't have to wait until Yom Kippur for when he goes in and offers the sacrifices. You can go to the Lord every day, every minute of every day. You can go to the Lord when you're driving in your car. Sometimes that's when I go to the Lord. You can go to the Lord when you're in bed, before you wake up, or as you wake up, when you go to bed, when you rise up and when you lie down. You can go to the Lord at any point, because we have that facilitation for us because of what Yeshua has done. This is what the entire book is all about, the Bible. It is all about Exodus 29:45, the dwelling of God and his people. All of this is facilitated. And listen, if we don't understand the Torah, and we don't understand the role of the priests, how are we to understand Yeshua? How are we to understand our role as a holy nation? Our role as the stones, as the temple? We have the temple of God in us. We have Yeshua inside of us. Don't you know, Scripture, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh? All of this is because what's written in the Torah portion this week. All of this is because of what Yeshua has facilitated for us. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. Holy God, sanctified God, who cannot dwell with sin, who wants a fallen creation to come back to him. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we admit it. We are a mess. We have sin in our lives. Lord, we need you. We need to bring our sacrifices to you. We need the atonement, the blood atonement, Leviticus 17:11. Without the blood, there can be no atoning for sins. Lord, you've provided it through Yeshua. You facilitated the relationship through the shedding of his blood on that altar, on that tree, on the cross. Lord, we're so thankful that we've been represented with our names on Yeshua's heart. Lord, we're so thankful for his sacrifice. We're so thankful for everything that you've done, Lord. We can't understate it. We appreciate, Lord God, the fact that you've given us the word, that we can read about Yeshua in every Torah portion. Lord, we appreciate the fact that you've not just left us hanging and said, here's 10 commandments, go figure it out. But Lord, you've exactly given us instructions. You've given us everything we need to know how to come to you. We can never say, well, you didn't really give us any explanation. because we read about it in the Torah portion. So Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts today, that you would show people you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you would show your Jewish people that Yeshua is the high priest. Yeshua fulfills the role of the priests back in the Torah. It's all linked. The Messiah has come. His name is Yeshua, which means salvation. He is the only way by which men can be saved. And Father, we praise you. And if there's anyone here that has not accepted that sacrifice of Yeshua, in your heart of hearts now, just ask the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for the ways that I have messed up. Forgive me for the ways that I have wronged you and other people. Forgive me in the name of Yeshua who died for my sins. That's the way we can connect back with God. That's the beginning of our journey. That's the way we're justified before the Lord. And then becomes the sanctification, where we have a process of being made holy, kadosh, kadash. And then at the end, there is glorification. When you come back, Lord, we will have glorified bodies. We will be with you one day in heaven. Father, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord God, that you would touch every single heart here, wherever they're at. Lord, and if someone has never accepted you before, may they be challenged, convicted to say that prayer. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins, and I accept you, Yeshua, as my sacrifice, as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to follow after you in my life every single day, and I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to come and get fellowship, and I'm going to come and learn about you. Lord, that's the way. That's the way we're sanctified. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done. We pray that you continue to bless and guide our congregation, bless and guide our families and individuals here. May we truly seek your face, understand you each and every day a little bit more. And as we continue to go through the Torah portions, Lord, may they speak to us. May Yeshua come out of them. May we see the connection points like we saw today. We thank you and praise you, God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.